Good morning. Go ahead, I'm turning your Bibles to Psalm 100. How are we doing? I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. I know we all ate too much, so don't even try to deny it. But that's okay. Happy Thanksgiving. You know, as Christians, we have a lot to be thankful for. A great deal. And I'm very excited that as a nation, we take the time out to celebrate Thanksgiving. But I also have the firm conviction that it shouldn't be something that we celebrate and do just once a year. If anything, as Christians, when we come in every Sunday, it's a time of thanksgiving to God. I am thankful that we get a chance to do this every week. Now, it's not every week you're going to have some mashed potatoes and turkey and stuff like that. Sorry. But we get a chance to assemble together as God's children and to praise God together. And to start us off, in your notepad, I want you to write down the top three things that you're thankful for. Don't cheat. Don't look at the person next to you. In one or two or three words, the top three things that you're thankful for. And since I'm given the test, I'm going to determine what the answers are. And I will tell you why. The top three things that you are thankful for. Go ahead and write them down. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we don't even know where to start. You are awesome. You are incredible. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for creating us. We thank you, Father, for allowing us, Father, to be in this world, even at this time. We thank you, God, that we can be here this morning to be a part of this worship service. Father, there is nothing that we have or have ever owned that did not come from you. Father, we are so grateful for everything you are to us and everything you have done for us. Father, we are especially thankful, God, that you sent your Son into this world to die for us. We're thankful, Father, that you gave us your word. You opened up our hearts that we could see you and know you. And as a result, we have an eternal relationship with you, God. Father, we are so grateful. Father, forgive us of the times when we've concentrated on the things we do not have. Forgive us for the times when we've complained and grumbled and whined. Forgive us for when the time when we've not said thank you. Father, we give you praise this morning. We thank you for Jesus. In his precious name we pray. Amen. In Psalm 100, the Bible says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Ray, I believe this was the stuff you read this morning, right? I did not know Ray was going to be doing the welcome this morning. I had no idea that he was going to read that scripture. And that's what I'm preaching on this morning. If you haven't figured this out yet, there's something called the Holy Spirit. But you know, the Bible says here that shout for joy to the Lord. Some translations say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? He says, shout! Some of us, we don't like shouting. Now, I believe there's a place for shouting. Are you with me? It's amazing. It says, a psalm for giving thanks. As a matter of fact, this is the only psalm that has that heading in the entire book of Psalms. It's a psalm of thanksgiving. Now, there are other thanksgiving psalms in the scriptures, but this is the only one with that heading. It says we need to shout for joy when we come before God. Amen? Again, I don't know the way you grew up. In whatever church you went to, whether it was quiet and people were very proper, you know, if you said amen, people turned around and looked at you or said praise the Lord. Someone said, we don't do that here. Let me tell you something. This is a Bible thing. Amen? It says, shout for joy to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, when we come together on Sunday morning, this is not a funeral. Now, at a funeral, it's usually very somber. Why? Because, you know, you're grieving, you just lost a loved one. It's tough. But this ain't one of those times. Are you with me? And so we need to come in with excitement, with anticipation, as we come into His presence. That's what this is about. Don't let the curtains and the screen and all that distract you. We are coming into the throne room of Almighty God with our worship. And He says, I want you to shout for joy to the Lord. Some of us feel, well, I can't really sing. I can't carry a tune. That may be true. But you need to make a joyful noise anyhow. You know, the amazing thing is, when everybody is singing, okay, even if you can't carry a tune, even if you're singing off key, we can't hear it. Are you with me? Nobody can hear it. All we hear is the singing of everybody. Amen? So make a joyful noise unto the Lord with your voice. Amen? I mean, I've stood next to some of y'all during the singing. Man, you are singing off key. You are all over the place. But that's okay. Why? Because you're not singing to me. You're singing to your God. Amen? We are thankful when we enter His presence. It says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him, it says, with joyful songs. I don't know about you. Life is hard, man. Life is just hard. You and I are going to encounter some stuff this week that we don't even know anything about yet at this moment. Yes, this week, a lot of us, we spend time with family. You saw people you haven't seen in a while or whatever. People traveled in or you traveled out. And that's all fine. But I'm sure you had some problems. I'm sure you did. If you didn't, I promise you, this week, better buckle up. Some are coming your way. But see, what happens is, we go through our week, we have ups and downs, and God says, you know, I want you to take time out when you come worship me. Forget about all that stuff. It's done and it's done with. There's nothing you can do to change it. Come before my presence with joyful songs. Lift up your voice. Not because of the circumstances, but because of who He is. Does that make sense? That's why when we come in here, we come in here with anticipation. Sunday morning, man, you get out of bed early. You get yourself all ready. You know, you put on your Sunday attire. You're ready to go. It's like, I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to come worship God. That's what this is all about. And we get to do this every week. It's amazing to me. Amen? He says, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Do you realize we didn't create ourselves? There is nothing you have. There is nothing you can be thankful for that you did not get from God. Absolutely nothing. He is the creator. And so the creation comes before the creator to give thanks. Has anybody ever been to the White House? Raise your hand. Few hands. Okay? How many of you were invited or you went in, you know, like on a tour? I'm talking of invitation. You got an invitation. I don't see any hands going up. Okay? I take you guys went on the tour and everything. That's cool. Do you realize you can't even go on the tour, if I'm not mistaken, unless you go through your congressman? You just can't show up and say, hey, I'm an American citizen. This is the people's house. I want to come and take a tour. They're going to look at you and say, who in the world do you think you are? You can't even go into the White House, let alone get audience with the president for a few minutes. And yet, I want you to think about this. The King of all kings, the creator of the universe, we have the privilege to come before His presence every day, every Sunday as a church, without an invitation, without going through somebody else. That's one of the reasons why it drives me nuts when people come late to church. Because I'm like, do you really understand what's going on here? We're talking about reverence before God. If President Obama invited you for dinner tonight, chances are you would have missed church. To say, you know, hey bro, I'll see you later, man. I'm going to Washington, D.C. You will get there early. Your dinner appointment is at 7 p.m. Chances are you're going to be at that gate at 5 p.m. Chances are you're going to be dressed the best from your closet. Some of y'all will actually go out and go buy an outfit for that occasion. Oh, come on, let's get real here, man. I know you. So what's up with this? Why are you getting a new suit? I'm having dinner with the president. And then you come out, hey, this suit has been to the White House. Check that out. But you see, I bring that up. Here's an ordinary human being who walks around on two legs just like all of us. If you're going to go into so much preparation to meet somebody like that, how much preparation are you doing before you come in here on a Sunday morning? Amen? And you've heard me say this before, and I hope that is becoming that for you. Church, on this earth right now, this is the highlight of my week. When we come together to sing praises to God. Amen? That's what it's all about. Man, we get to gather together and sing. Say, I don't know the songs. It's okay. You can move. You can open your mouth. Nobody cares. Nobody notices. Amen? Just worship your God. And so I'm asking you, what are you thankful for? If you wrote down these three things, I want you to go ahead and stand up. Let me talk to the teens for a second. I love the teens. Okay? The youth are great. They really are. But they got no money. They're flat broke. They're always asking their parents and other adults for money. They just don't have it. Okay, one day they're going to have money. Praise God, when they start working, they're going to have some money. Okay? But right now, they got no money. So let me start with them. Three things that you're thankful for. If you wrote down God, if you wrote down your soul or your salvation, not necessarily in that order, okay, these are the top three. And if you wrote down the word of God, go and raise your hand. No, those are the top three. Those are the three things you wrote down. God, that you're thankful for God, you're thankful for God's word, and that you're thankful for your soul or salvation. Same thing. If that's what you wrote down, raise your hand. All three. All three. Like I said, I'm giving the test so I determine what the answer is. You know why that is my answer? Because those are the three things that are going to last for eternity. I'm not saying there's anything wrong in saying, oh, I thank God for family. Absolutely. I hope you thank God for your family. But guess what? Your family is going to die one day. As awesome as they are, your family did not die for you. My family did not die for me. Yes, my family loves me. But my family will not get me to heaven. God will. My soul will. Salvation through Jesus and God's word. Those are the three things that are eternal. None of you had it? Huh? I'm talking to you teens. None of you had it? Oh, come on, man. I was going to give you some money. I was going to show you some love. Because I heard you always, you all complain that I give the money to the little kids. So I said, okay, I'm going to give it to you this time. How many got two? You got two? Oh, Russell, what did you write down? What three did you write down? My relationship with God, my what? My life? Okay, that's one out of three. Well, relationship with God and your salvation is the same thing in my book. Yeah. Michael, what do you write down? Wait, you did the same thing? You see these kids, they think they're smart. Who else? Nisha, what do you write down? Some of you guys raise your hands up. What did you write down? Okay, same person. Okay, Ashley, what did you write down? God and your salvation. And what was number three? Family. I'm sorry? How about the adults? How did we do? Did anybody write down the three I spoke about? Any adult? How about two? You wrote down two? Okay, Miss Anne, I'm going to give this to you. It's not money. Oops. Could you let me hand that to Miss Anne? These are movie tickets. Two movie tickets. Now, I think I got to give this out. I mean, I'm trying to come to a conclusion here. Who else got two out of three? See, I can't give it to my daughter. You guys are going to accuse me of playing favoritism. Huh? Huh? You guys are funny. Okay, hand it to her. Any other thing? Huh? Any other thing? Can you have my hand out to Olivia? It says in verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. See, like I said earlier, we are thankful when we enter his presence. We need to be thankful when we exalt his person. We also need to be thankful when we express his praises. That's what Psalm 100 is all about. Amen? Where we're grateful. Where we think about all the little things God has done for us. I mean, think about it. You know, we're thankful for our salvation, right? How did you get saved? It was through God's word, right? But you have to be able to read to understand it. Do you realize, I mean, all the different people, even growing up in your life, that taught you all these different things? All the things God put in place for that event to finally happen. I couldn't tell you right now who taught me how to read. I had a lot of teachers. But can you imagine the fact that if I couldn't read, if you couldn't read, you wouldn't have understood this? So there is a lot God does and has done and continues to do to bring us to that point. Are you with me? And we got to think about such things on a daily basis, in our prayers. Thanking God for different situations and for using different people to bring us to a knowledge of the truth. I mean, here we are living in America. We live in a country where, again, you can openly read this. You know, I remember a few weeks ago, the brother who leads the church in Vietnam, he came through and he was visiting with Scott and Kim Cook Dang. And I went to say hi, and just listening to him about some of the challenges they go through in that country practicing Christianity. It was very humbling. You just can't show up in a public place and open up the scriptures. You can't do it. Do you realize that they don't invite you to church? You don't get to go to church service until after you're converted in Vietnam. Because they don't know who they're studying the Bible with. They don't know who's in the secret police. They don't know who's going to go tell on you. It's after you become a Christian that they now take you to church. That's amazing to me. And you and I, we can decide, when we leave this place, we're going to go to the mall and we're going to start talking about the Bible and nobody's going to stop us. They may look at us and think we're weird, but they're not going to stop us. Nobody's going to arrest us. You openly carry this thing, you can talk about it. America is an amazing country. And I think a lot of times because we've never been outside, we've never really experienced what goes on in other places, we don't really appreciate what we've got. The same thing in China.
We have a lot of underground, what we call underground churches. Many. You just can't stand in your apartment or kneel down in your apartment and start praising God and start crying out loud to God. You're going to get arrested. Christians want to cry out to God, get on their bicycles, go out in the countryside, miles away from the city where nobody's around, and just lift up their voices. You can't do that in the city. And yeah, you can do that in your home today. Your neighbors may think you're weird, but you can do it. What is he doing? Man, he's screaming out there. I hear God in there. Wow. They would just dismiss it and keep going. You see, we have this. We can read it, we can understand it, and we can put it into practice. What an incredible privilege. Amen? From time to time, you'll be listening to the news. In a lot of Muslim countries, Christians have been persecuted. You got a church building, they will burn it down. Those guys are looking for an excuse to burn down that building. This goes on every day, somewhere on this continent. And all I'm saying is, brothers and sisters, let's not take God for granted. Let's not take His word for granted. Let's not take His blessings for granted. Let's not take His presence in our lives for granted. Amen? It's all about our relationship with God. Like you've heard me say so many times, that is the only thing you take from this life when it's all said and done. Or God help you, or lack of it. When we leave this place, that is the only thing you're going to take. I'm sorry. That trophy you won in high school, or that diploma you got from college, or all that money you made in your retirement account, guess what? You ain't taking it with you. You couldn't do it, even if you tried. Here you are, your disciple, you're passed on, and you, even if you write in your will, oh, bury me with this whatever. If I'm going to do that service, it ain't happening. I can tell you right now, we're not going to bury you with that stuff. Because you can't take it with you. Amen? I would challenge that willing God. And say, Your Honor, he's not taking it with him. Those may be your wishes, but it ain't happening. Not on my watch. Because you can't take it with you. Amen? I know you're not going to do that. The only thing you're going to take in this life is your relationship with God. You know, I saw something this week. I didn't even know this. That was so moving. I believe it was on Thursday. Last year, one of the wide receivers for the Cincinnati Bengals, Chris Henry, he died. And after he passed on, he wasn't going to make it. His mother decided to donate his organs. And that was what the little clip was on about. You can go see it on cbssports.com. You can still watch it. And what she basically did was donate his lungs to one person. Another recipient got his pancreas and his liver. Another got a kidney. And I'm forgetting there's one more thing. But four different families. And they did this thing where she was going to meet all those guys for the first time. Ooh, it was very moving. I cried. You know those guys that do the, you know, the commentary before the game, James Brown and Shaman Shabo. I mean, James Brown lost it. He couldn't talk afterwards. He was just crying on the set. It was that moving. It was so amazing to see her meet those new families. And you know what? I lost a son, and now I've gained four families. And she brought this knitting of a picture of him, kind of that was sewn together. It was so moving. And the whole idea was, you know what? You know, say my son is living, a part of my son is living in all these four individuals right now. Now I don't know if you're an organ donor or not, as an adult. If you're not one already, let me encourage you to become one. Because again, you and I, you never know. If God decides that, you know, he's going to take me tonight, it's okay. My organs are going to go to somebody. Because I can't take it with me. And there are people on a waiting list. The list is so long. For all these different organs, people that are suffering with different ailments, and they need some kind of organ transplant. I just want to encourage you to really consider it. You say, oh, you know, in my coffin, I'm going to be, you know, a lot of me is going to be missing. So what? It's all going to turn back to dust. None of you is missing. The real you is gone. Amen? The part that really counts is your soul that, I'm sorry, you can't donate that to somebody. It's gone. You've taken it with you. But that decision needs to be made very, very quickly. Amen? And so all those families gathered and they were just giving thanks to this lady. It was very moving. I cried. You know, I cry a lot anyhow, so. That broke me down. This was before dinner. I came downstairs, I told my wife, I said, did you see this? I said, you got to watch this. Thankfulness. Because God has blessed us in so many different ways. Our relationship with God is the most important thing. I know for over a year, Jennifer Jewell, you know, she's been coming back and studying the Bible and just trying to get her relationship with God back on right. And I'm very happy to announce that last Sunday she was restored. Where's Jennifer? Go ahead and stand up. Where are you? There she is. Because when it's all said and done, that's the only thing that matters. It's our relationship with God. Amen? Now look in Psalm 136. In Psalm 136. And I want us to read this together. We just sang about this a little while back. You know, this is a psalm, again, that reminded the Israelites, God's children, of all the wonderful things God had done for them. And I'm going to read, you know, the top part of each verse, and then I want you guys to respond. I mean, the response is the same throughout. We just sang about this a few minutes ago. But then in there somewhere, I believe if this is written about us today, I'm going to insert some things, okay? I'm glad that, you know, God took out Og, king of Bashan, and Sihon, king of the Amorites, and all that for those guys, but that doesn't do anything for me right now. Okay, I'm glad he did it for my brothers and sisters back in the Old Testament. You understand what I'm saying? And so this is the kind of place I'm going to, you know, I'm going to change some of the stuff it says. Amen? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. To him who alone does great wonders. Who by his understanding made the heavens. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights? The sun to govern the day? The moon and stars to govern the night? Who gives us our daily bread? Who has allowed us to be well and alive today? He who sent his son to die for our sins. He who is always with us, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He who has kept every promise to us. He who has promised to come back for us. He who has prepared an incredible eternal home for us. Give thanks to the God of heaven. You see, every blessing we have, God has done it because of his love. In Psalm 100, it ends by talking about how his love and his faithfulness endures through all the generations. Amen? I mean, I don't know about you, that's a long time. When you think about generation from generation to generation to generation to generation, and now us. And also those that will come after us. That's incredible. Amen? We all know John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave. See, that's what love does. Love gives. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Now, the context, obviously, in John 3 was those guys who did not believe he was the Son of God. So that doesn't mean, well, I just believe and I got eternal life. That's not what he's talking about. Okay, we got to read that verse in context. He's talking to a bunch of people who did not believe he was the Messiah. And he's saying, if you don't come through me, you're not getting to God. Go back and study out John. That's the context. Are you with me? But you see, the point I'm making is, because God loved, he gave his Son. He gave his best. Now, I don't know about you. When somebody has given me their best, the best they can offer, that tells me that everything else they will do for me and give to me. Think about that. God gave us his best in Jesus. That was his best. He allowed his Son to die for us in our place. Are you with me? And that's why it tells us in Romans, you know, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? It says, he who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, along with Jesus, will he not give us all things? And so, church, there's no room for doubt. There's no room for, well, I don't know if God is going to do this for me. There's no room for it. Amen? In his own time, he will give you exactly what you need. Not what you want, what you need. There's a difference. There are a lot of things I want. Are you with me? But the question is, are we willing to wait? I mean, think about this. When we were at the our marriage retreat the other day, we had a little game called Let's Make a Deal, where, you know, we gave a prize to a couple, and then John came back and said, well, I'll make you a deal. I'll give you something else if you give me back what you want originally. And I believe Gary had won the first gift, and then he changed it. And I can't even remember what they got in the second prize. But it was fun. I mean, can you imagine? How many of you drove here this morning? Go ahead and raise your hand. Okay. What if I told you, I'm going to give you, every single one of you, $100,000 for that car you drove here this morning? How many of you would take me up on my offer? Okay. John says he'll do it twice. Why would you do that? Because you know your car is not worth $100,000. Okay? Mine ain't worth $3,000. That's the truth. Okay? But you would take that offer in an instant. Right? I mean, who in their right mind would not take that offer? You would. Now, supposing I said, okay, now, I want you, instead of giving you $100,000 for your car this morning, I'll give you $1 million for that car. Okay? Are you ready? But I'll give it to you in 6 months. In 6 months, I will give you $1 million for that car instead of $100,000 today. So, it's in the parking lot. Just leave it there. I made an arrangement. Meadow Creek, you can leave that car there. You're going to have to walk home. You're going to have to find alternative ways to get to work. So for 6 months, you cannot drive that car. Okay? 6 months from now, I'll give you $1 million for that car. How many of you would take that offer? Again, there you go. You're very smart people. Church, listen to this. Through God's word, God, in a matter of speaking, has made a deal with us. He says, give up your life. Make me Lord. Follow me. And I will give you eternal life. We gave it up. We gladly gave it up. Because we understand the value, a little bit, of what is going to come. As if that was not good enough, even right now as we're living, he's doing awesome things in our lives. He's giving us 100 times over what we gave up. And so, yeah, I have no idea what heaven is going to look like in terms of in its entirety. We see little glimpses of it here and now in Scripture. But we're willing to wait. But guess what? Satan also makes us a deal. Dad, don't believe that. Let me give you this now. Forget about God. Chase after girls. Go after worldly stuff. Enjoy yourself. Let me tell you something. You will pay a price. And you will have nobody to blame except yourself. So whose deal are you going to accept? God's or the devil's? It's up to you. It's up to me. But let us remember where all this stuff is coming from. It's all coming from God. And that's why we need to give him thanks. Amen? I want to end with one more verse. I'll let you go home and eat the leftovers. I know you still have leftovers. So don't pretend. You've been eating since Thursday and you haven't stopped. But that's okay. It's hard to eat a whole turkey in one day. In Psalm 149, it says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing. And make music to him with tambourine and harp. Amen? I wanted to read that in addition to Psalm 100. Again, I don't have the time. There's a lot of Psalms that talk about this. But when we come before God, it needs to be like a party. Amen? Now, we're not drinking anything. There's no alcohol in here. But we're high on Jesus. Amen? We're high on the Spirit of God. It needs to be a time of celebration. You say, Richard, I don't know how to dance. It doesn't matter. That psalm doesn't say learn how to dance and then dance. No. It just says you come with dancing. What is dancing? You just move. You just move, baby. You move. Say, I don't know how to, I can't hear the rhythm. It's okay, just move. Just move. You're dancing before your king. Amen? Because we have a lot to be thankful for. This is not a culture thing, it's a Bible thing. You know, I stood in the back this morning deliberately, and I was watching us as we were singing. I said, some of you, you were dancing, you were moving, that's okay. But as I said, a lot of you, you are just standing there. Come on, man, move. You can move. If you say, I don't know how to move, Richard, I'm going to teach you, okay? I can give you some lessons. I'm not going to charge you anything. Come on, baby. Let's move. Dance before your God. It's going to be a tough week. Amen? Come before Him with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. That's what God commands us to do every week. I'm looking forward to next Sunday. God bless you all.
Well, we're going to close with a word of prayer. Okay, let's bow our heads and thank God for all the blessings and everything He has done, through the week, and to prepare us for this coming week that we're going to start again our race. Dear God, we thank You today because You're a great God. Thank You for, we don't have to wait until next year to give You thanks, God, for all things that You've given us, God. Thank You because we matter, God. And You give Your Son the proof that, God, that even though sometimes we don't deserve, God, to receive Your blessings, Your grace, because of Your promises, God, we are filled, God. My prayer today, God, is that every person who came today has his cup filled, God, with Your Holy Spirit. Thank You for filling my cup, God, because I'm leaving this service not the way I came in, God. So I thank You for that. We thank You for all the brothers and sisters that put their time, and we know that, you know, every Sunday, after Sunday, God, You put people here to prepare this service, and sometimes we just come in and we don't even think about that, you know, all the work that is put in behind, God. We thank You for the technicians, the musicians, God, Richard. And we thank You because Your word is spread, God, to us, through our life. Prepare our life for tomorrow. Everybody goes back to work. And we thank You again, God, for this service and for today, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.